This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for my favorite craveable chicken fingers. Turbocharge your order and get it even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app. Raising Cane's chicken fingers, one love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
Pirates just call it a rebuild. Why can't they just be honest with the fans and say exactly what it is? Well, I guess that depends on your point of view, because in my eyes, they've been really honest about this. Good morning to you. Good Friday morning. I'm Dejan Kovacevic of DK Pittsburgh Sports, and this, the newly reborn DK Sports Radio Podcasting Network. It's been a busy week for the baseball club, completing their international signings, notably that of the 16-year-old outfielder Shaleen Polanco from the Dominican, $2.35 million. Looks like he'll be their top prospect from that part of the world. That's good. You need that. You need the international guys. Everyone focuses on the draft. Can't just be the draft. I say that all the time. And it can't just be Latin America, for that matter, not anymore. You've got to be busy in the Far East. You've got to be busy in Australia. It's a new world right now. There's baseball spread out in more different places than ever. And you've got to be on top of it. That was productive. The Joe Musgrove trade was remarkably, stunningly, I thought, productive from the standpoint of a prospect haul. Ben Cherington did great, got five prospects, four of them from the Padres, one catching prospect from the Mets in what wound up being a three-team deal. And just like that, you're looking at almost half of the Pirates' top 30 prospects having been acquired just in the past year by Cherington. He's getting quality, but he's also getting quantity. In doing so, he's giving up known commodities. Not great commodities. He doesn't have the good fortune of being able to trade an Andrew McCutchen or a Gerrit Cole. He's traded Starling Marte, a very good center fielder, Josh Bell, who was a very good player in the first part of the 2019 season, Joe Musgrove, who's a very good pitcher, one out of every four starts, I guess. But not necessarily the greatest commodities. He's done okay. I wasn't wild about the Bell trade, but then I wasn't the one hearing what the offers were coming back. I thought the Musgrove trade was outstanding. But when you're moving those guys out and you're bringing children back, they have a word for that in sports that's universally recognized, universally accepted. And although I don't get the sense that the Pirates have an aversion to using it, I don't think they see it as radioactive, they also don't use it. In fact, when you try to find out or to get more of a verbal description as to what it is that they're doing, the best you can do is something like this from Cherington a couple days ago in a call with us.
What we're focused on right now is just being committed to adding young talent, talent that we think has the opportunity to improve and has the upside to help us win in the big leagues in any way we can. Whether that's trade, free agency, international signing, the draft, certainly. And, you know, we're going to get to a time when our focus shifts, but we've got to be really committed to building that talent base first.
Now, see, I didn't hear the word rebuilding in there either. And I didn't really hear terminology that would point to that. Certainly not in the strict sense. But when he says things like, our focus now is on adding young players, maybe we'll get to the point where our focus will change and we'll be looking to add older guys to supplement what's already in Pittsburgh, he's describing the classic rebuild. Why don't they use it? Meaning the word? Why doesn't Cherington use it? I should be more specific, because this is on him. My feeling here is that he's not wild about the term in general, because he doesn't like to think of what it is that he's doing as being based off his predecessor, what was left behind, how good it was, how bad it was. I think he likes to sell the concept, not to me and you or whatever, not even necessarily internally, but to himself, that he approaches his job as if, I just came in here today. This is where this job starts. It didn't start 12 years ago when Neil Huntington took over. It didn't start 17 years ago when Dave Littlefield took over, or when Cam Bonifay took over, or whatever else. It started the day he came on the job. And I can respect that. I think that's a healthy way to go about an occupation. If you think about the term rebuild and you think about the prefix re, it's that he's doing something over again. Well, that just doesn't apply here. I'm sorry. That actually technically doesn't apply. I can be the cynical guy and say you can't rebuild what was never built in the first place, because the Pirates have never had a strong minor league system under Huntington and Kyle Stark. Never. Not in 2013-15, not leading up to 2013-15. Look around the diamond at the players who won the blackout game against the Reds. Those were Dave Littlefield draft picks and some very smart trades and free agents that were advised by some very smart people who were soon very smart to leave the Pirates because they knew they weren't going to get anywhere under Huntington and Stark. That's all that happened those three playoff years. Ask yourself to what extent internal acquisition and development led to 2013 and 15, and just go through the names. Again, you'll see it for yourself. And ask yourself then what really went wrong, by the way, after 2015. It's that they had no cavalry coming from the minors when A.J. Burnett and Jay Happ left. But that's all about payroll, I'm told. That's just nothing but payroll. Heaven forbid they would have had a couple of guys in AAA who would have been able to make a move up to the majors and take those guys' places. Cherington sees what he's doing as a fresh start, and I respect that. I think that's the way that it should be. I don't care what anyone calls this thing. Cherington laughed out loud at one point during this call and said he doesn't care what anyone calls it or how they describe it. So if you want to call it a rebuild, go nuts. It's not a term that they find offensive. I can't imagine why they would. It's not something that they're trying to hide or sweep under the rug or to kind of keep a secret so that maybe people will still buy tickets and then they won't find out that it's a rebuild until they get to the ballpark. Come on. After these moves, are you kidding? And after the statements that they have made? I mean, I know people love to cut up the Pirates for every little thing, including a lot of imaginary things. But this is one of those. This is one of those imaginary things. They don't have a problem with the word. GM just doesn't happen to use it. It's not part of his lexicon. Not a big deal. Not a big deal at all. When we come back, just one question.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. it probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at IKEA-USA.com today.
Back time for just one question. If you'd like to submit an entry for this part of the show, visit DK Pittsburgh Sports, find the article that accompanies this podcast, and leave it right there in the comments section. There's no chance I'll miss it. This portion of Daily Shot is brought to you by our friends at Mike's Beer Bar and the sister operation right next door, North Shore Tavern. They're both on Federal Street, right across from PNC Park, the side with the Willie Stargell statue. Open for business, both of them. Go inside. At Mike's, you can enjoy your favorites from the more than 500 beers he's got on tap, including from more than 50 local breweries. At the North Shore Tavern, you can enjoy the trademark steak on a stone, a meal unlike any other in the city. Head on down to Mike's Beer Bar. Tell them we sent you. Today's Just One Question comes from Chuck, who says, "Hi, DK. In the past, you've mentioned that there could come a time when you'd give deeper insight into Frank Coonley's decision-making that has negatively affected the Pirates organization, as well as affecting Neil Huntington's decision-making. What I'm hearing and reading about from you are poor decisions made by Huntington and Stark. Why shouldn't the reference be Coonley, Huntington, and Stark?" All right, Chuck. First of all, you have an incredibly vibrant memory. I mean, for anybody who doesn't know, I wrote, this was more than a year ago, that I was working on an entry for Friday Insider, a weekly feature that we do on DK Pittsburgh Sports. It's just a lot of, it's what it sounds like, you know, inside information, stuff that you get from being on the scene, from talking to people. Not all of it's necessarily like 1,000% confirmed and sourced and on the record and everything else, but it's stuff that we're hearing. Comes with a little bit of a different standard. And I said that I was going to write a Friday Insider entry about Coonley and his impact on the franchise. And there were a couple of things that I'd heard very specifically about him. But just because you lessen or lower the bar a little bit from the standpoint of having full confirmation and everything for the insider feature, it doesn't mean you fly off the handle. We all still have a responsibility to do these things in a way that's fair to everyone. And to be perfectly candid with you here, I never got the second sourcing that I needed on it. Would have been great. You would have loved it. But I didn't have it. And I still don't have it. And it's been a while now, so it's not like I've been seeking it out either. Coonley's gone. He's been gone for a while now. He did some damage to this franchise, both on the field and off the field. On the field, he was a meddling team president, and now I'm not sharing with you some super insider thing. This was a known thing that I've written about extensively, and that really, Bob Nutting kind of acknowledged it last year when he went about the hiring processes of Travis Williams and then Ben Cherington. And he also put his words where his mouth was by separating those duties. Travis Williams does not get involved in baseball matters, and Ben Cherington does not get involved in business matters. They function, they exist really on parallel tracks at the corporate level. I'm sure there's still some things that they have to do together. There are still discussions that they have to have in concert. But it's not going to be the way it was with Coonley and Huntington, where Huntington would actually run everything up the flagpole past Coonley. And Coonley once killed a very big trade. And I wrote about this at the time, reported on it exclusively, actually, from a winter meetings way back in what I think was the second year of that management group, a deal that was going to send Jason Bay and Ronnie Paulino to Cleveland for Cliff Lee, if you can believe it, and a couple other players of prominence from the Indians organization. Coonley was the one who stamped it out. Huntington and everyone, all of his lieutenants and the Indians, thought there was a done deal. And Coonley ended up killing the thing at close to 3 in the morning. And I know this because I was still up in my hotel room at these winter meetings. Don't ask me where they were. My memory isn't that great. But it was a hotel room, and I was getting these texts, so I had to stay up, and I'm sitting there at my machine just breathlessly waiting to find out what's going on with this thing. And I'm getting them from right inside the room. I can tell you this sort of thing now. And only to find out that Coonley killed the thing. And boy, were the Cleveland people mad, because they thought they had a deal. This isn't how business is supposed to be done. What kind of GM doesn't have authority to pull his own trades? And when I brought this up with Coonley, not just the next day, not just a month later, but 2-3 years later, whatever it was, in a conversation that we had in Sarasota, Florida, he just continued to deny it. Which also isn't great, because I definitely trusted the people who were in that room, and I definitely don't think the Indians were in on some conspiracy to protect Coonley. This isn't the thing. By the way, Chuck, why shouldn't the reference be Coonley / Huntington / Stark? You know what? It probably should be. But that's an awful lot of typing, and I'm just going to pass on that one, Chuck. I do include Stark because he and Huntington did everything together, and there are times when I'm convinced that Stark was actually the boss. So I twin those guys together in all references to baseball decisions made over those 12 years. Thanks for the question. That's really good stuff. Thanks to everybody for listening, not just today, but all week and every day. I'm proud of the way this show has come together, specifically the Pirates show. Our numbers on this are right there with what we get on Steelers and Penguins, if you're curious. And that tells me an awful lot about the interest that continues to somehow survive in the Pittsburgh market. Let's do this again on Monday.
At Point Park University, in the heart of downtown Pittsburgh, they understand there's no substitute for real-world experience and career-building connections. Their innovative curriculum engages students with distinctive experiential learning opportunities. Point Park's pioneering co-op program empowers qualified students to work in full-time, paid positions with their corporate partners while earning college credits. Visit pointpark.edu/works to learn more. Career ready. That's The Point, Point Park University.
Your front door, your car, your gym locker, your gun. Safety is a habit. Learn more about how to keep guns safe and secure. Visit projectchildsafe.org.